Tonight is Monday night, November the 5th, or 25th day of the month of Mar Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. Okay. We learned last week the machloikis in the Gemara, the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which quotes a machloikis between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim are of the opinion, the case is somebody had a bed with poles, and he put the schach on top of the poles itself. Somech sukaso v'tarei hamita. So the Chachamim said it's perfectly okay. Rabbi Yehuda said such a sukkah is pasul if the schach cannot stand on its own, namely it is resting on the bedposts itself. The Gemara then asked the question, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda says that such a sukkah is possible? And the Gemara quoted a machloikis amoraim. One reason was lefisha ein lo keva, because since the schach rests on the bedposts and the beds are moved from one location to the next, so it's lacking in sukkah keva. Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, we've seen this on a variety of other locations, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a sukkah has to reflect somewhat of a more permanent characteristic, a more permanent fixture, as opposed to our understanding that it's a real temporary abode. And since it's transportable and is often moved, therefore that's the chisaron. However, the other opinion was that you are ma'amid the sukkah on something which is hamatabel tumah. If you go ahead and lean it on the bedpost itself is a kli, a utensil, and as a kli it can be receptacle for tumah, and just as you cannot use schach, which is mekabel tumah, you can't rest it on something which is mekabel tumah, and we explained all of the reasons as to what the significance is, the whole machlokes, how to understand it, and so on and so forth. I want to begin tonight with a comment made by the Ramban in Milchamos, not necessarily on this particular sugya, but something instructive for how poskim, such as himself and the Rambam, decide to code the halacha. When you have the majority opinion expressed in this Mishnah by the Tana Kama, a minority opinion expressed by Rabbi Yehuda, and the Ramban is going to say that everybody in this situation, or the overwhelming majority, are going to paskin like the minority opinion, like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Ramban is going to tell us why, and on the sheet that I illustrated it with you, you will have another illustration. There are several illustrations which the Ramban provides, and I simply selected one of them so that we can see what's happening inside. The Ramban makes the following claim. That any time you have a majority versus a single individual, normally the halacha should be established in accordance with the majority opinion. In which case, in our situation, if you take the bedposts and you put the schach on top of it, the Chachamim said the sukkah is kshera. In which case, there is no problem of a davar hamamid. We don't care if you're mamid something on which something which is mekabel tumah. So when you have your prefabricated sukkah, if we were to paskin like the Chachamim, you can put the schach directly on the metal poles. There's no reason not to. Because the Chachamim say that the sukkah would be kosher. So two conclusions could be reached. One, that a sukkah does not have to reflect a permanent structure, a temporary one that moves around from place to place is perfectly okay. And number two, the disqualification of a ma'amid al-davar ha-mekabel tumah is nothing to worry about. Fine? And yet, we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, the minority opinion. Says the Ramban, Nikoi klau zeh biyodcha. Whenever there is Amoraic discussion about the reason of the minority opinion, then ignore the majority and accept the minority opinion. That's the rule which the Ramban writes. And it's as if he's telling us, I don't want to say it, but it's as if he's saying that if the Amoraim thought that the halacha was going to be like whom? Like the Tanakhama, they wouldn't be wasting their time on what? On explaining Rabbi Huda's opinion. Now that's a little unusual, because we like to learn, think that there's value in understanding the minority opinion, even though we're not going to accept it. Because of the fact that Torah is Torah, right? We're not going to understand Beis Shammai's opinion because we never passed like Beis Shammai. That's not true. You have to understand what Beis Shammai says as well. But in certain instances, Gemara often reflects not always the longest that we're always typically trained to think of. Having the longest, the Gemara often reflects a practical side to it as well. And the Ramban is expressing. And he gives several illustrations to prove that he is correct. That this is a theory that has been accepted almost universally. So I selected for our edification one illustration which the Ramban gives based on a Gemara in Masechet Gittin. The Ramban, the Mishnah says as follows. If you look at the top source Aleph, you have an unusual set of circumstances. It starts at the last word of the first line. Kosav sofer get le'ish v'shover le'isha. Okay? A husband is the one who is empowered to authorize the writing of a get. So the sofer will write the get on behalf of the wife. And then he often will also write a receipt for whom? For the wife that she received her ksuba. So that when she does get her ksuba, the husband will now take the receipt and show, paid off, no problem.
It is obligated.
So, in the normal way of thinking, and the normal way things go well, when the sofer writes the get for the husband, he will give the husband the get, and he will give the receipt to the wife, and then when they meet, hopefully everything will go nice and smoothly, he will give her the get, he will pay her the ksuba, she will give him the receipt that the ksuba is paid. In this particular situation, we were dealing with a couple of airheads, and the sofer gave the wrong document to the wrong person. He gave the get to the woman, and he gave the receipt to the man. So let's read it. Kosav sofer get le'ish. The sofer wrote the get for the man. The shofar and the receipt le'isha. V'ta'a, and the sofer made a mistake. V'natsan get le'isha. V'shofar le'ish. And he gave the get to the woman and the receipt to the man. Neither the man nor the woman looked at the piece of paper that was given to them, because in all probability, even had they looked, they wouldn't be able to read it in any event, because most people didn't know how to read or write. So they had a piece of paper. The assumption he made that the sofer gave the right piece of paper. So what happened? Ula'achar zman harei haget yotzei miyad ha'ish v'shover miyad ha'isha. Lo and behold, the man is walking around with what? The get.
And the woman is walking around with a receipt.
And they suddenly, some good Talmud Chacham friend of theirs who knows how to read, says, hey, let me see that document. Oh, there it is. It's a draft. Why didn't you give it to your wife?
He says, what do you mean? I gave my guest a wife.
No, you have a receipt here that you paid, that the tsuba that was paid off.
No, excuse me, I have a guest.
And the wife says, what do you have in your hand?
I have a receipt.
What do you mean a receipt?
I'm supposed to have a guest in my hand.
So, what happened? Then obviously she got married. Thinking that she had a guest, she went and got married. So the Mishnah says, Teitze mizeh u'mizeh v'chol hadrachim v'eilu bo. Now what happens in this case, this is a series of Mishnayos where they describe the worst possible thing. Where a woman remarries thinking that she was divorced, and in reality she was not divorced. So then what happens? She was living with this second man, Be'isur. So the halacha is, once we reconcile and figure out what's going on, she is teitze mizeh u'mizeh. She has to leave the second husband. She's never permitted to marry the first, to remarry the first husband. She forfeits a ksuba from both husbands. The children that will be conceived from the second marriage are mamzerim. Mamzerim. So the Mishnah here in Gittin quotes several cases where this phenomenon is to be recognized.
Why did she forfeit the ksuba?
Why? Because she acted inappropriately. She married somebody and was not permitted to marry. So she's an Eishes Ish. And for them, because of that, we are going to penalize her because she acted inappropriately. We do this many times. For example, a woman, husband disappeared. So she's going to marry best on the testimony of one witness. So there is a Takana Medurabanan, that even though you normally require two Aden to determine the marital status of husband and wife, Mishum Aguna, in order that this woman not remain in Aguna, we do not demand two witnesses. One witness is sufficient. Not only do we reduce the number, we don't even demand a kosher witness. A kosher witness is a Jewish male over bar mitzvah, shomer shabbat. That's the normal standard of witnesses. Two male shomer shabbat adults. In this case, we will accept anybody's testimony, male, female, Gentile, Jew, makes no difference. But we expect her, if we're going to rely on the testimony of this Gentile, Olah, that she makes sure that the guy is reporting accurate information, and that she checks into this. Well, she didn't do her homework. She didn't do due diligence. She accepted the testimony of this guy. She remarried. 15 minutes later, the guy walks in, the husband walks in. So the Mishnah says again, Teitze mizeh u'mizeh v'chol hadrachim v'eilu
bo. But Rabbi, your illustration where you say these people may have been illiterate, she didn't do anything,
Yes, she did. Because when somebody gives her a get, she should make sure that she's getting a piece of paper called a get. Don't trust anybody. The husband gave her a get. Maybe he's giving her a piece of a rambam. He's trying to fool her. That's all. He gave her a rambam, a copy of a rambam. How does she know? She should ask somebody, is this a get?
Well, it's interest. That's the sofer.
Okay, but the sofer, that's correct. That the sofer gave her the receipt. Not the get. So she thinks that she has a receipt. So when she gets the get from the husband, she shall know. She should say, did he give me a get?
What about eating the seerah?
What about eating the seerah?
Didn't they read what they were given?
Okay, that's a good kasha. Why? Okay. So let's just for argument's sake say eating the kasha. Okay? Just for argument's sake. Because then I don't want to get bogged down here. Let's just for argument's sake. Now listen to this. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im le'alter yatsa, ein zeket. Im la'achar zman yotza, harezet yet. Im la'alter yotza, ainzet yet. Im la'achar zman yotza, harezet yet. What does that mean? It depends when this what? When this mistake is revealed, exactly. If the mistake is revealed, what? Right away. Then we say, ainz again. But if the mistake is revealed when? At a later time. Lo kol heimenu min harishon la'abed zechuso shel Hashem. You can't just invalidate that which we thought was done properly at a later time. That's Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Hanakama made no stipulation. Hanakama said under all circumstances, what is the halacha? Teitze mizeh umizeh. Rabbi Lezer says no. It depends when this information is going to be discovered.
What's considered right away?
Ah! Now there's going to be a discussion in the Gemara about Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Let's read the Gemara. Source Bet. And it's the third line. Heifi Dami Le'alter. The Gemara asks Murray's Tasha. What exactly is considered Le'alter and what is considered the Heifi Dami Le'achazma? What's considered immediate and what's considered allowing the passage of time? Omar of Yehuda Roshmuel calls man Shiyoshvin V'asukin V'osav Inyin Zehu Le'alter. What is Asukin V'osav? They're talking about Git. They're talking about the divorce process. Oh, we've been married for 20 years. I'm really sorry to see it go. You know, they're just talking that hopefully all the witnesses signed it properly. So they're talking about the get, where you're going to be living. You know, they're talking about what's going on. That's called La'al. Undo, they parted company, they left court, they walked out of Bezdin. That's already Zel Achasman. That's after the Maisa. In this case, we don't apply the standard of Teitzei Mizeh U'Mizeh. She can go on living with the second man, and we assume that what? Who knows what we assume? That's Rebbe Lezer's opinion. Okay. It's a good kasha of what's running through Rebbe Lezer. That's the Sugin Gittin. I just want to show you for a second. Rav Abba Bar Ahava Omar, no. Lo Mises Zehu La'alter. You know what La'alter means? Until she got married. It can take years. Until she got married. That's called La'alta. La'achar Zman. That's what? What's La'achar Zman? This says she got married already. Then it's already too late. Okay, fine. Now, so here you have a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer. According to the Tanakama, worst thing happened is the worst scenario. Teitze, Mizel, Mizel, Kitta Mamzeum and everything. Rabbi Lezer says, hold on. Kitta not Mamzeum. The Gemara's discussion is not one word about the Tanakhama's opinion. The whole Gemara debate is about what? Rabbi Lezer's opinion. What constitutes La'alter and what constitutes La'achar Zman? Now take a look at the Rambam. You see what the Rambam Paskin like? Source Gimel. Says the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchus Gittin, Perek Yud Hilchus Gittin, Halacha Yud Aleph. Kosav Hasofer Vita'a, V'natan Get Le'ish, V'shover Le'isha. O Shita'u Hein, V'natan Habal Haget, V'nat Lehi Hashover. Kiduma lahen shenizgarsha ulaachazman harei haget yotzei mitachas yideho ish imlo nises harei zu eno megureshes venizgale hadavah sheadayin lo nizgarsha v'yitain haget b'foneinu v'tiyu megureshes mishas nisinaso v'im nises ואחכך הוציא הבעל את הגט, ואומר, עדיין לא נתגרש, שהרי הגט יודעי, אין שומן לו לאוסלו. So what happens? The Rambam Pasen is exactly like Rabbi Eliezer, according to the second interpretation.
He has a little,
What?
He
He has a little twist about the Baal trying to make some trouble.
No. Because that's what's always going to happen.
Yeah,
the husband comes here and says, hey, I got the guest. She was never divorced. Why did she marry him? So the halacha is, she's allowed to go ahead and marry. Because what do we assume happened? I'm going to tell you what the assumption is. The assumption is that nobody mixed anything up at all. The husband had the guest. He gave it to the wife. You know what happened? She lost it. Who found it? He did. And now he's coming to Besdin waving the fact, my wife was never divorced, and she married that other guy. Boy, does he want to mess her up. Say the couple. Says Rabbi Lazar, honey, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. So the Rambam knows the halacha very well, that whenever you have a majority versus a yachid, what's the halacha? The halacha's like the Rambam. Yet the Rambam doesn't talk to like the Chachamim, that in every single case what happens, that she is, that the kids are mamzerim, she goes out to both husbands. You say, look what happened. If she didn't get married yet, let's straighten it out. Get the get back, give it back to her, they'll pay the tzuma. But if she got married already, all finished. Says the Ramban. The Ramban gives this example. Says the Ramban. This is an example of the rules that's operating in our Gemara Masechta Sukkah as well. That whenever you have a machloikis between a majority opinion of the Tanakhama, a single opinion, a minority, whoever it is, Rabbi Yehuda, whoever it is, and the discussion in the Gemara only focuses on the minority opinion, the halacha should be established in accordance with his opinion and ignore the majority rule. That's the Ramban, which the Ramban posits right here in the Chas, right here in our Sugya. And that's why he paskins, like all other Rishonim, that suddenly Davar HaMa'amid is suddenly a problem. To be Ma'amid Dishach on the metal poles is an issue. Why is it an issue? Because we're going to pass the like Rabbi Huda against the Chachamim. Why? Because the Gemara's discussion happens to focus on the minority opinion, not a bloody word about the Tanakhama. And that's the rule which the Ramban says, I want you to remember. So if the Ramban wants us to remember it, I'm telling it to you, and you should remember it. Correct.
But why would he paskin like this on one space? Paskin like a yachid? If there is a yachid, why?
You're asking me.
The Rambam is only saying that we do, but
he didn't explain why. Because he felt that if there is Amoraic discussion of that opinion, it means that opinion was mikubal in the Amoraic period. That opinion was mikubal in the Amoraic, because if it was not accepted in the halacha, there wouldn't be much discussion about it. Again, that's something I said, I can't mouth that very comfortably. But I'm telling you, that's what the Ramban believes. I'll give you another, because I want to move on. I'll give you another brief illustration. Do you know that the first mission in Kedushin describes three ways in which Kedushin can be affected? Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Okay? So now if you remember from your days in Yeshiva, if you learned the first parak in Kedushin, there are about 12 blocks that deal with Kesef Kedushin, all different aspects of it. About a half of Amud that deals with Kedushin al Yidei Bia, and about a block that talks about Kedushin al Yidei Shtar. Okay? And the Rambam makes a statement, no one ever gets married through any other method other than Kesef. Kesef is the only Midor Doros. Anybody wants to know, how did the Rambam know that was Midor Doros the way it did? And the way historians say, because if there was 12 pages of discussion about Kedushin al Yidei Kesef, it wasn't that it was because so much conceptually much more difficult to understand than Kedushin al Yidei Shtar. You know why they discussed it? Because that's what people were doing. People were using the method of bringing kesef, so it sparked discussion. Very few people were being mekadesh and isha al yidei biya, having sexual relations, and therefore there was not much discussion about it in the Talmud. So the amount of Talmudic discourse on a particular topic often sheds light as to what might be the practice and so on and so forth. But that's what the Ramban points out right here. Point number two. We spoke about Ma'amid last week, and I wanted to share with you the machloikis between the Bach on the one hand and the Ravid, even if it has the Ravid with Bach, but that's the way people know it in the Yeshivish belt. I mentioned to you last week that the Ravid is of the opinion that the entire psul of Ma'amid is only Midrabanan and a Gzeira. What's the Gzeira? That if you're going to rest the schach on something which is Mekabel Tumah, what's your next step going to be? You'll use schach which is Mekabel Tumah. That's the Ravid's... Okay. And that's how the Ravid explained and took away the question which all Rishonim asked about the case of making the sukkah on the Elon. Now, last week I answered the question differently. What was the answer which the Ramban gave? Why the case of the Elon sukkah is not a problem? What was the Ramban's answer? Because the schach was not on the tree. The schach was what? On the walls. You built the regular sukkah, and the whole sukkah was sitting on the tree. And therefore, what role did the tree have? It was not a ma'amid, it was a ma'amid. Bima'amid, if you remember the discussion from last week. Says the right? No, that's not the case. The case is, he put the schach on the tree itself. So just imagine, everybody in this teaneck has this situation. You got two trees in your backyard. Just put the schach up and hang them on two trees, and you'll be sitting in between the two trees. Put the schach on the tree. And that would be okay, because the Mishnah says, Ha'oseh sukasai al roisho ilan, you are yotzei the mitzvah, vein oivin vaviyant, if you can't what? You can't climb up, you now climb up a tree. So the question is, what's the difference between this Mishnah and that Mishnah? You know what the Rambam says? Because nobody makes a sukkah on a tree. And therefore, b'makom d'lo shchiyat, b'gaz b'rabah. Since it's not a very popular thing that people will climb up a tree and place the schach on between two branches and then you'll sit below it, they're not going to make a gzeira. Gzeiras are only introduced when there is a chance that it might lead to something. But if the phenomenon itself is not an issue, so the Rabbanim don't make a gzeira. So the Ravid believes the entire institution of Dover Hamamet is only Midrabanan. The Bach, and apparently it's based on Rashi, believes that the entire Dover Hamamid is an Issa d'Oraisa. And that it's not just the Gzeira, but mid the Oraisa it passels. Why? Based on the explanation that we gave last week. That if you are Ma'amid on something which is Mekabel Tumah, what do we now consider it? As if you actually used what? Schach passel. Resting the what? Sukkah on metal? The Torah considers it as if you used metal for your schach. The whole schach becomes schach pasul, not as a gzeira, but midda oraisa. That's famous Bach opinion. It's the famous Bach opinion. Number one. That's another thing that I wanted to tell you. Number two. Point number three, and then we'll move on. Point number three. What happens, and here again we'll show the difference between the Bach and the Ravid. And let's assume for just a moment that the psul of Ma'amid is not only in the case where it's Mekabel Tumah, but even something such as Mechuba Lekarka. Okay? Something which is Mechuba Lekarka is also going to be a problem of the Davar Hamam. We spoke about it last week. Here's my case. You have in your backyard a brick wall. A brick wall. A brick's Mekabel Tumah, Absolutely not. All I did was, I have two brick walls, one on this side, one on that side. I put the schach on top. Kosher sukkah or not? Kosher sukkah or not? What would you say? Of course it's kosher. Right? So the Ravid says the following. You know what? I'll tell you why it's kosher. Not because I just want to limit the psul of mamet only to something which is mekabel tov. No, that's not the reason. When you're dealing with a gzera, it should look like that there is a possibility of assuming that the thing which I'm leaning on top of it might be construed one day as what? As pasul schach. Will anybody ever say, if I rest my schach on a wood, on a brick wall, is anybody ever going to say you can use bricks for schach? Would anybody ever say something so stupid like that? Of course not. And he draws the following analogy. Here is his case. I dig a hole in the ground. I dig a hole, 10 tefachim deep. Big, wide hole. And all I do is put the schach on the top of the hole. That's all I do. And I walk inside, I put down my table, my beds, and everything. Anybody going to say that it's possible? Says the Ravid, you've got to be nuts. Why? Because no one would ever say that the ground is going to be used as what? As kosher schach. The whole thing is just a gzera of a ma'amid where it might be construed that you mix up the ma'amid, the thing that it's resting, as kosher schach. But if there is no possibility of making that confusion, says the Ravid, no reason to be gezer. And that's why under those crazy cases, the cases with the wall, brick wall, you dig out a hole in the ground, and you dig 10 tefachim deep, and you put the schach on top of the lip of the hole, everybody's going to say, says the Ravid, it's kosher, based on the fact that these gzera cases have no application. Because a pole is a pole. That's why. Okay. Because he's saying when you see something as a structure, it's part of a wall. It's part of the floor. Okay. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm not saying that,
Do we have cases where if you have a quarter of the stock is possible, the rest is kosher, the sticker is still kosher? Why don't we say, you're afraid next year you're going to make a lot of them?
It's an excellent question. I don't have a good answer to that. It's a good question. If we're going to be post-sale a ma'amid situation, there is even a greater concern if you have some schach puzzle and you're allowed to have up to four schach of schach puzzle, right? At the start, right. Exactly. So it's a good question.
No, because no one designed the sukkah with schach puzzle on purpose. It's a matter you go in there, you find out that's what
you're doing. No, but let's say he did it deliberately. He doesn't have enough kosher schach.
He's going to leave it empty then.
No, he doesn't want to leave it at because he doesn't want the flies to come in. He puts the schach puzzle. I don't know. Let me invite him.
Rabbi, what would he say in that case?
Because
he holds it
correct. Okay, see, he might hold that it's puzzle. That's correct.
The brick
case. If the Bach believes that you extend the psul of Mamid all to beyond, so that he probably does.
What is are you extending brick to?
Yeah, I'm talking about a wall that's attached to the ground, not moving any place.
Mechubal karka doesn't mean nourishing
something? No, absolutely not. No, not necessarily. Okay, next mission at top of the page. This Mishnah has two or three different cases into it, and they're very technical, so we're going to start. We'll read the Mishnah, but we're going to focus tonight on the last case first. Sukkah Hamiduvleles. Okay, so you look at Rashi. Rashi says, look how much the fire should be Gemara. Gemara explains it, so I'm not going to tell you what it is. So we'll read the Gemara in just a moment. Ushitzilsa meruba mechamsa ksheira. And a sukkah whose shade is greater than the sun, such sukkot akasha. We will soon see later a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel whether this line ushitzilsa meruba mechamsa is really part of the first case of Sukkah Hamadub Leles, or it represents a second category. According to Rav, it's one case. According to Shmuel, it's a second case. We'll read the Gemachloikas just in a few minutes. Third halacha. Hame'uva kemin bayis. You have so much schach that it appears as if it's the roof of your house. You can't see a bloody thing through that schach. The sun doesn't come through, no stars, you can't see any stars, nothing. Says the commissioner, Afal pi she'ein hakochavim nir'in mitocha k'sheirem. Even though what? You cannot see the stars. The sukkah is kosher nonetheless. Okay? Please turn to Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis for a minute, because survey says, before you take a look, survey says, what does the word Kulchavim mean? Stars. The Gemara may not be perfect, because the sun is also a star. Which star are we talking about? We'll see. And there's going to be a big difference. Take a look at Chaf Beis Amud Beis for a minute. It's five lines before the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Kemeuva kemin bayis. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara cites a brisa. Hameuva kemin bayis. Afal pi she'ein hakochavim niran mitocha k'sheira. Ein kochve chama niran mitocha. Beit Shammai Poslin u Beit Hillel Machshirin. Okay, hold on. The Mishnah didn't say anything about this. The Mishnah didn't say anything. Now we have a brisa that says, talks about Koch Vechama. What does Koch Vechama mean? The sun, the rays of the sun. So that's suddenly subject to a machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says that a sukkah whose schach is so thick, if the sun does not penetrate, it's possible. And Beis Hillel says that a sukkah, which the sun does not penetrate, is kosher. Okay? Anybody want to speculate why? Why, if the sun doesn't come through, it's possible?
It's too much like your house.
Okay. It's too much like your house. Okay. So maybe... Maybe. It's Dirat Kevah. Perhaps. In which case, we have found several Tanoim, Amoroim, who believe that you're supposed to have a sukkah keva. We just had Rabbi Huda's opinion. This would now suddenly introduce Shammai. Barosha, he's the author of this opinion. Maybe, that he requires keva. So why is it that only if the sun can't be seen, that's a lacking of, that's too much keva? But if the sun can be seen, but the stars can't be seen, that's perfectly okay. The Shammai doesn't argue about that. Shammai does not argue about the stars. So if the schach is so full that no, you can't see any stars, but the sun rays do get through, that Shammai is willing to be matched. But if the sukkah is so well stocked with schach that even the sun can't get through, that is a chasar. Perhaps. Now take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to see what's happening here. I want to ask a question. I'll take one second. Would anybody here say, based on the Mishnah that we just read, and the Gemara, the Brisa that we just read, would anybody here say that the Chachzili is supposed to have, they should be able to see the stars? Would anybody here, based on the Mishnah and the Brisa we just read, that l'chatchila, your sukkah should be able to see the stars? What would you say?
Yes.
How? What source would you quote?
I'm sure.
Sherry's only what? Oh, good. That's what the Gaon's going to say, that it's only vidyeh. That the word shera means vidyeh, inference, lechatzili is false. Okay, so now let's take a look. You have the mechab in front of you. Benny had a question.
Yes. I don't understand how
Right.
Then you have the next case of the Ube.
Correct.
It seems to be repetitive cases. I would have thought the commission would only cite the Ube case. You could certainly learn the Silsa case from the Ube case. Because the Silsa case is worse than the other one, right? You can't see anything in the Ube case.
Correct. Because the real chidush, see that phrase is really...
modifying the Gezel,
yes.
Fine.
And that's the way... No. Yes. Because what's happening, okay, I didn't explain what Duvleles means. Duvleles is going to be a case where you put schach on different levels. One schach is up here, the next schach is below there. Now, as the sukkah is going to be constructed, we'll read this in the Gemara, there is more sunlight than shade. That's the way the sukkah looks. You have schach up here, schach down here. Over here you got schach up there, schach down there. The way the sukkah is constructed is that there is more sunlight than shade. However, if you had simply lowered the top level and put it next to the lower level, what would have happened? There'd be more shade. So that's the case which the Mishnah is going to say is okay. That's what it means, silsa meruba mechamsa. That if you were to make an adjustment, even without making the adjustment, if in theory you could have made the adjustment, and now there would be more shade, such a sukkah is possible, even though currently there is more sun. So that phrase, Silsa Miruba Mechamsa, is undoubtedly related to the case of the Duvleles, and therefore this is a separate case. Yeah, Mark, look at that.
Lashon Shera.
Bidiyev.
So what would you say when we look up to it?
What would it say? Misachachin. You would say, you know, Misachachin, Bishach, Apal Pi Shalom, Miran and Chokhav. Nothing. If you did it, it's Kshayva. Now let's take a look at the Mechava, and the Guin, and everything else. Take a look. It is... see if head. Okay, first he gives you the case of the Nadulbo, which we're not going to look right now. No, that's not it. Yeah, it's not. Gimel. Derech hasichuch, see if you, derech hasichuch lios kal, the sichuch should be somewhat lightly applied, kidei sheyiru mimenu hakachavim hagedoyim, so that you'd be able to what? See the big stars. Haisa me'uva kemin bayis, if however you want, you put up enough schach, so that it is so thick that it resembles a roof of the house. So the Mechaber formulates it just as you did with double pasuk. And the Gaon says, it's exactly what? Because the Mishnah used the expression, Kshema. Now I ask you, Rabotai, so we're going to be makpid to follow the mechaber, not to put up so much sichuch. Would you call that a hidur? What would you call that? The first line of the mechaber. Lechatchila, whenever you have something in lechatchila in the d'eved, you have to understand what are we striving for in the lechatchila, and what are we willing to waive with the d'eved. So what is the added benefit that is going to be accrued to our sukkah? In what avenue are we now making this a better sukkah because the stars can be seen? I ask, what is it? It's more of our rub. So if the stars can get through, it's more of our rub. And Bidi Eved, what are we going to allow? It's keva?
No, but it's less. It's less arai.
It's a less arai.
That's near a keva.
Okay, so it's standards of arai. I don't.
Spiritual stuff being exposed to Shemayim.
No, that's not in the halachic lingo. That's Bali Kabbalah. Maybe the Zohar will say that.
Leman Niskor, you know.
Leman, that's why you have to see the Schach. That's Leman Yedu, right? Leman Yedu Zohar Seichem. That's the Bat. You have to see the Schach. You have to see the Schach.
I think it's also the Lord. You look at the Bat. The whole concept of food is also going to be the same in Hashem. So when you yari kachadim, when you can see the kachadim.
Look, I ask you now, give me another situation that we've learned quite a bit. Where you can have a lechatchila, don't make your house look like a house, don't make your sukkah like a house, but to the end, if it looks like a house, it's okay. Can you give me another parallel to that? Another parallel to that. That where you, lechatchila, don't make your house look like, don't make your sukkah look like a house, but if it looks like a house, it's okay. Do we ever find something like that? It's so unusual that you would have a lechatchila and a bidieved in something which you really can't put your finger on as to what exactly the halacha is looking for. Mamadashah. If the schach, if you require tri'ut, so then it should be accepted lechatchila. If you require arai and it has to demonstrate, that should be required even bidieved. What's this going in between? That, you know, lechatchila, I'm struggling as to what exactly the kiyum is. What type of a kiyum is it that I should be able to see the stars? It's obviously not going to be related to the meditation who came to Duru or something like that. It's obviously something in the sukkah itself. Something is lacking in the sukkah if you can't see the stars. And if that, but you can't see the stars. And that there should be, and now we're doing even further gradations. Because in relationship to just the stars, what we call the stars, that everybody says it's kosher. Can't see the sun, that the shamai is willing to possibly even be the other. Even be the other. So what's happening here? If you can't see the sun, that looks more like the house, and that's why you're going to pass it. Is this standards in what is more approximate to a house? You see what I'm struggling with?
Halacha is that it has to be filled through the room of mechanza, right?
And this is?
Which implies that there has to be chanza. That there has to be, that there has to be.
Where does it say that?
That because, what is it? That it's not filled through the room, that it's, then.
Okay. So now I'm going to bring you another halacha. Okay? When you have a halacha of where you have oimed meruba al haparutz, right? You have walls of a fence for an eruv, and there are gaps in between. So the halacha says we calculate whether the porutz is meruba al amud. How much if this enclosure is enclosed? Is there more space enclosed, or is there more space what open? So now the halacha is that you require omeid meruba al haparutz. That means you need more for a fence, for a halachic fence, you need more of it covered than you have gaps. So you're going to tell me you must have a gap in your wall? Because the Mishnah explains the way the criteria is. There's got to be more covered than open. So you're going to conclude you must have some gaps in your wall when you make a wall for a mechitzah shop.
But they're clearly, I mean, that
says, oimeid meruba al haparutz. Same thing. Chamsa meruba mechamsa. Silsa meruba mechamsa.
But we know that silsa meruba mechamsa doesn't mean completely. Here, if it's completely covered so you don't see anything, it is possible.
But why?
So that,
and is it silsa meruba mechamsa?
The question is, why is it? Is that the question?
I'm asking you, why would it be possible? Why would it be possible?
If you don't see anything through it.
That's correct.
What is the
chisar? What's the chisar? And why suddenly, if you can't see anything, if you can see the sun, that's okay. They can't see the, you can't see the sun, that's Beis Shammai, that's no good, even to the end. What is happening here on the different levels? I don't have a good handle on that. Yeah.
You couldn't see it, then you're not remembering what they were doing when they left the sign and pond.
The skunk. We can see the skunk perfectly. It's 2 feet above my head.
No, you couldn't see the clouds back then.
Who cares about the clouds?
That's the way they travel, right?
But the base was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the sukkah, the skunk upon them. That's what they couldn't. The nace wasn't that you couldn't see the clouds, that you could see the clouds.
What opinion? It's not talking about the amulet here, named Hakava, to the extent, but not completely.
And if it was Sukkot Mamish, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
And if it was Anani Hakava, there's going to make a difference between the sun and the stars?
No, you're supposed to remember that it's supposed to emulate the Anani Hakava, but it's not, so you have to be able to see through it. Realize that there's something beyond it, that it's not really, in other words, we're completely covered about.
So why would Shammai say, if you can't see the sun, it's possible. If you can't see the stars, it's kosher to do it.
The better question is why Hillel would say it's good.
Correct. I hear what you say. That's correct. There's one other shita. We learned it in about Beis Amud Aleph a little while ago. Anybody remember Rabbeinu Tam's shita about Bayis Mu'uva? The schach is so thick that the rain doesn't come in. Beis Shammai says it's possible. Beis Shammai says it's possible. If the rain can come in, it's possible. Why? Because it's not a roi. Now, that exactly I can understand. That I can understand. Because in your home, by definition, your roof is not going to be what? Leaking. But did you ever construct your house to make sure that you can see the stars? You know, since when does that become a criteria whether what, you have a good roof or not? You know, that's interestingly enough, that's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. But if you have enough sequel to prevent the rain from coming in, as long as you can see the stars, that's okay. So it's almost just the opposite of what you and me would have expected if we're working about the definition of what's a sukkah. If it's a bias versus a temporary hut. I would have said that what would be the ultimate litmus test as to whether it's a bias? Keep the rain out. If you put up so much sukkah that the rain is coming in, never going to rain, this is not a sukkah, this is a bias. But if the rain can come in, but you can't see the sun, that's going to be the chisaron?
I would think of it. There's no rain. And how do you know if the stock is too thick? It's not like that.
But the Rabbeinu Tam said it's independent. He didn't say that the rain is the litmus test to tell me that I'm not going to be able to tell the sunlight. And that's not what the Rabbeinu Tam said. He said that's a separate independent soul. If there's so much stock that you can't get any rain in, sukkah is possible because it looks like a house and does not resemble a sukkah.
No, we don't.
What?
We
no, we don't. We don't accept the Rabbeinu Tam. It's not quoted here. The Shulchan Aruch didn't quote that. He only quoted in relationship to the stars. That's all he did.
This whole concept of Tilsum Ruba Mechamsa.
Yeah.
When we learn that whole requirement, in what context did we learn that? Is that in the context of Kevan Arayin?
No, we learned that in terms of a definition of what's called Tzchach. What is called a sukkah? A sukkah has to have Tzchach. What is the definition of Tzchach? Where it's Tzilsa, Meruba, Mechamsa. Not because that is the machriya between what constitutes a bias versus a roi. That has nothing to do with it. That's the definition of a sukkah. That there is sufficient Tzchach to make sure that there is more shade than sunlight. That's all.
That's
the, I don't know if some of that's the definition of tzchach is. That's what tzchach does.
The definition whether it's keva or rai, is it based purely on the status of tzchach?
Yes. The height of the wall also. if it can be up to 20 tefachim high, or more than 20 tefachim high, means it can be a factor of the amos, more than 20 amos high, it can be a factor of the wall too.
Maybe they wasn't just focusing on the stop. Maybe he's saying the walls are also awry, and then
but he,
just one facet of the terminology.
Okay, but he did, then he should say that the walls should have to be made out of flimsy material, and he says they're allowed to make it out of solid steel. You know, it's I don't have a good answer. I'm struggling to understand what exactly is the lechatchila and what exactly is the bidyeved, and why in a lechatchila bidyeved is there a difference between the sun and the stars?
Well,
yeah,
all three are actually measures of how solid the sky is. The most solid is the one where even the rain can't come through.
Right.
Second most is if the rain comes through, but you can't see if the sun doesn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
And the least solid, the least solid is the one where you can actually see the stars even coming through.
Right.
So all three of them are measures of how solid that tzchach is. And the
correct
measure of the tzchach is a measure of how much it is or isn't like your house.
Good. But the way you set it up is perfect. But then, which should have been the psul which everybody would agree upon?
The rain.
Good. And nobody quotes that halacha except the Rabbeinu Tam. And the middle case, the sun, is subject to machlokes b'shama and b'shila. And the least one is l'chatchilin b'di'evit. So that's the difficulty. Okay, that's just another line or two. Back to the Gemara.
Everyone agrees that Chochmah and the Mishnah is stars. You mean you imply that there was some unfocus on that.
On what?
Everyone agrees that our Mishnah, Chochmah, is stars.
Correct, right. But the Brisa, so no, what I'm saying is that in theory, you could have read the Mishnah through the eyes of the Brisa. That when it reads Kochavim, it's reflect could mean the sun too, but it's adopting whose position? Hillel's position. As the sun? I don't know. It's pretty advanced. That's correct. I don't know. He calls it Kochavei Chama. Yeah. The Gemara asks, my Meduvleles. What is considered a Sukkah Meduvleles? So we'll do Rav's opinion. Amar Rav, Sukkah Aniyah. Sukkah Aniyah. A poor man's Sukkah. So what's this poor man's Sukkah? That has lots of gaps of air in it. But he's very careful that each gap of air is less than what? 3 tefachim. What? In the schach. Gaps of air in the schach. So now the overwhelming majority of the schach is going to be airspace. What? Where have we dealt with?
I don't know. We've spoken about
some of the connections. That's correct. But here you're just talking about it's perfect. You're not relying on Doi Panakuma, none of that stuff. You just have very little stuff. So now, according to, would you say that the second case is related to the first? Now, what's Rav Chiddush? So now what's the Mishnah telling you? Sukkah Aniyah is Kasha. What's the Mishnah telling you? What? Okay. So in effect,
it is, and it's good. What do you mean?
Okay, that's good. So then Rav is a total waste of time. Is Rav really telling me what this, is he just giving me an illustration of what I mean of Silsa Meruba Nechamsa? I can have as little schach as I want, as much airspace as gaps. The only thing you've got to worry about is what? Make sure that there's a little more shade and stuff. Is that the Kiddush? Not much. And that could very well be why Shmuel said, Rav, this doesn't excite me. Because I don't know what is added above and beyond. Once I know Tzilsa Meruba Mechamsa, I don't care how much schach you have up there. It's a very simple equation. Is there more shade? I don't care if you have 30 bamboo sticks or 12 bamboo sticks. The answer doesn't lie in how many bamboo sticks there are. Where does the answer lie? Whether there's more shade or more sun.
Maybe even as a qualifier, even with more shade and sun, it can't be more than 3,000
But that, no, but that halacha we said 50,000 times, that Avir, Posel, the Gimel Tzvacha. That's not Rav's Kiddush. That halacha has been documented 50 times already.
How do you explain the first line of Mishnah that it's Bidiyevet?
No, this case also Bidiyevet? That's a very good question. I haven't thought of that. That the same word Shera is only Bidiyevet. Why is this only Bidiyevet? If it's Silsa Meruba Mechamsa.
Or you said that it's a qualifier for the Mizuz Shmuel.
Correct. So what is it?
The Mizuz Lelet is the case where...
No, that's Shmuel. That's going to be Shmuel. What about a point to Rav?
It shouldn't be Sinji.
What's the halakha about Rav? That's not a halakha. No. Okay. We'll stop here. We'll continue with this next week with Shmuel's opinion and try to understand what the real Chiddush is.